Welcome to Hope for the Caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger. Glad to have you with us. More than 65 million Americans serve as a family caregiver. If you're one of them, you are in the right place. If this is your first time ever tuning into this program to hear a show for caregivers, really? People who take care of people with impairments of some kind? Aging parents, kids with special needs, somebody with trauma or stroke or somebody with Down syndrome or somebody with autism or somebody with an addiction or a mental illness. There's so many different kinds of impairments, but there's always a caregiver. Maybe you are one of those individuals. And if you are, wow, thank you. Thank you for giving me a little bit of your time to sit around and talk about things that help us stay strong and healthy as caregivers as we take care of someone who is not. If you want to know more information about what we do, you can go out and check out our site, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Hopeforthecaregiver.com. It is finally summer where I live. Now, that may sound odd to some of you all, but I live in Montana now. I lived in the South for years, grew up in South Carolina, lived in Nashville for 35 years, and then Gracie and I moved out here to Southwest Montana. Well, summer is elusive in Montana. I was in South Carolina seeing my folks at the 1st of June. I came back. It was 90-something degrees in South Carolina. And then the next day I got back to Montana and it snowed. And then I think the high today was 50 degrees where we live. We had a storm come in. But we had one day where it was like 90-something, or a couple days, you know, but it's a dry heat. But summer kind of comes and goes. I've seen it snow every month of the year out here. And now it doesn't always stick, but it's kind of weird, you know, when you're in July and it's snowing. But we live way up in the Rockies, and it gets a little bit weird sometimes. But summer, I have the assurance that summer is actually here, and people are filling our streams and rivers and lakes and so forth out here to fish and to raft and canoe and boat. And so we have beautiful rivers out here. One of the greatest fishing rivers in the world is the Madison River, which is, I look down at it down in the valley, and the creek that we live on, it feeds into down to the lake down there, which is fed by the Madison River. It comes out of Yellowstone, and it's some of the greatest trout fishing that you'll ever have. So we get a lot of folks that come out here after COVID, when the country and the world were just kind of stir crazy. That summer, we called it Rivergeddon because there were so many people on the river. It was just insane. I'm hoping it won't be this way this time. And then there's some great whitewater rafting. And a friend of mine is going to take me up to go fishing in another place up north here, about a couple hours. And we're going to go do that. He's a real expert fly fisherman. And he's teaching me how to do stuff like that, and I'm not very good at it, but I'm learning. But I've noticed a curious thing about our rivers and lakes, and there's a lot of good whitewater rafting around here too, particularly this time of year, because you have the snow melt, and you can get up to class 5 rapids. And I've gone rafting down the Gallatin, I've gone rafting down the Yellowstone, and these are great rivers to raft on. I've also done some back east, and those are a lot of fun too. I got to tell you, it is kind of fun to raft through Yellowstone Park. That's kind of cool. But imagine watching somebody paddle upstream in a rushing river. I mean, can you think about that for a moment? It might cause us to shake our head in concern over somebody's mental health if they're trying such a thing. Yet, isn't that what so many of us as caregivers try to do? When we're fighting the unstoppable and often raging current of Alzheimer's, autism, addiction, or a host of other chronic impairments, we're trying to paddle upstream. Now, there's paddling and there's paddling. I mean, it's not like paddling on a lake with caregiving. It's usually like, you know, riding class 5 rapids. But before you go on any whitewater trip, good river guides will give instruction about not panicking, wearing the proper attire, and moving quickly to keep the raft from flipping when approaching obstacles. By the way, Gracie's gone rafting several times, and we have to put her legs. We don't do it as much anymore because of the kind of legs she has, but we would put her legs in a dry bag. So, you know, it's always kind of weird with prosthetic legs, but that's the way she likes to get out and do stuff, and that's part of the journey. But now the legs she has will stay on, but they can be, if she gets, you know, if the boat capsizes, you know, you got to be careful with that sort of thing with prosthesis. But we got that worked out. She's not doing any rafting anytime soon. Now, she might get indignant about that because she has a zest for life and she wants to go rafting. But believe me, I'm not taking her rafting anytime soon. So we'll just settle that right here on the air twixt out. Now, y'all don't tell her I said that, okay? Y'all just keep that twixt me and you. So, but, you know, those rafting guys will give you all kinds of safety instructions. They'll tell you what to do. And then they'll also tell you to enjoy the ride and the scenery along the way. Well, as caregivers of loved ones with chronic impairments, we can either exhaust ourselves fighting the current or better position ourselves to move with the water. You know, this is a bumpy ride for us as caregivers. Do I hear an amen on that one? We might as well settle in, wear comfortable clothes, and go with the flow. And to our astonishment at times, we may even discover beauty along the way. Have you thought about that as a caregiver? That maybe this bumpy ride that we're on, there's a lot of excitement and it's a little bit harrowing at times, but there is beauty for us to discover along the way. And I want to challenge you to give that some thought this week. I know it's bumpy, but don't paddle upstream. Just ride it out. You've got an amazing guide who has properly equipped you with the right attire and knows where all the big rocks and the little rocks are because he made the rocks. You have the guide for this in your Savior. And you're wearing his righteousness. He's clothed you properly. He knows where all the hazards are. And you just listen to his voice and enjoy the ride. Okay? That's a different approach for us as caregivers. But I'm telling you, that's 4 decades of this. And I've tried paddling upstream. It's exhausting. You know who A.A. Milne is? You know, he wrote Winnie the Pooh. I think that's how you say his name. Milne, not Milne, but who knows? Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing. Of just going along, listening to all the things you can't hear, and not bothering. That was a favorite quote of Winnie the Pooh's. Oh, bother, not bothering. But you know what? Don't underestimate the value of doing nothing, of just going along. You don't have to strain against this thing. The Apostle Paul talked about this when given an account of his conversion in Acts 26:14, and Paul said this, "And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice in the Hebrew tongue saying to me, 'Saul, Saul, why do you continue to persecute me?' And in the Amplified, it says, 'to harass and to trouble and molest me.'" That's what Jesus is saying to Saul at the time, then Paul. And then Jesus goes on to say to him, "It is dangerous and turns out badly for you to keep kicking against the goads," which basically means to keep offering vain and perilous resistance. You know, it in a descriptive way of sometimes the way we are as caregivers, that we offer vain and perilous resistance. Why are we doing this? Do we trust in our Savior or not? I've gotten in the boat with guys that I did not even know. I couldn't even remember their names. And they took me down Class 4 rapids. I've never been on Class 5. But they took me down Class 4 rapids, and I did what they told me to do, and I had a decent amount of confidence in them, and I don't even remember their names. Let me tell you something. We have a Savior, and I know his name, and he takes me down far worse, and he said, "It's okay. Relax. I got you. I know where the rocks are. Enjoy the ride. We got you." That's from my book, A Minute for Caregivers. When every day feels like Monday, it's all out at hopeforthecaregiver.com. We've got more to go today. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver. We'll be right back.
People have value, but just where does it come from?
God created us in his image.
as male and female.
But the enemy is deceiving so many.
We like to shake our fist at God and say, why did you make me this way? I don't like it. I'm going to define who I am for myself.
We must stand on God's truth.
Can we change God's words? Can we change the tense? It's just the tense of a verb. Come on. To be able to get along with everybody, we don't have the luxury to edit what God has said.
In His Image is a life-changing film that takes you through Scripture and shares powerful testimonies to destroy Satan's attempts to pervert God's perfect design.
There's only one last major holdout in society to shed light on what the truth is, and that is the church.
Watch it again or for the first time, anytime on AFA Streaming. Streaming.afa.net. Streaming.afa.net.
Your Caregiver Minute with Peter Rosenberger.
If the caregiver goes down, what happens to the loved one? And that's where we step in to help strengthen those who are taking care of somebody who is not strong, somebody who is struggling, helping you stay healthy as you take care of someone who is not. And healthy caregivers make better caregivers. If you love somebody, you will be a caregiver. If you live long enough, you will need one. And I'm bringing 35 years of experience as a caregiver to the table. And most of what I've learned through brutal failure. I am the Wile E. Coyote of caregivers. And I get the journey. But I've also seen God's faithfulness and provision and His precepts in this in ways that I did not expect. And I found over the years that the problem for caregivers lies in our hearts. Because our hearts are a train wreck. And if our hearts are a train wreck, guess what happens to our wallets? Our relationships, our jobs, our careers.
Hope for the Caregiver with Peter Rosenberger. Saturday mornings at 8 Eastern, 7 Central on American Family Radio.
I'm letting go.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. You've heard me say this many times, and guess what? I live it, and I have to keep on my toes about this. And I always tell that to Gracie. It says she has to keep on her toes, and I have to keep her toes on her. But that's a different conversation. But I, this last round of surgeries with her, I was at Denver, and you know where we live in Montana, we don't have a Chick-fil-A anywhere near us. 60 miles away is the closest one now. And that's out on the campus of Montana State. And I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go 60 miles for that. But when I was in Denver, Chick-fil-A was my kryptonite. And I was not eating as well as I should. And I started to pork out a little bit. And I gained some weight. And I was not happy about it. And I have a friend of mine we've known for 35 plus years. And we were both raised in South Carolina. She and her husband are from South Carolina. And then we all lived in Nashville, went to church together, and just been friends for forever. And she's just been beating on me. I mean, just hammering me, just throwing rocks at me, stoning me, hurling insults at, no, she hasn't. But she was concerned about me. And she said, look, I want to talk with you about this. And she shared her own story of how she dropped a good bit of weight and changed her whole life and went to a healthier lifestyle. And I've done pretty well, particularly when I was doing martial arts and even working out here on the ranch, just doing just, you know, fencing and all the things that I do out here. I was doing okay, but 2 months in the hospital really took me down a different path. And so it was time to start making some radical decisions for me because I can't afford to get fat. You know, you've heard me say this. I'm no good to Gracie if I'm fat, broke, and miserable. So I didn't want to be that way. And you know, when you go out in the forest and the bears are hiding their food, it's time to start losing weight. And so I said, okay, Dale, I'll listen to you. And she started talking to me about this. And I started this program the 1st of March. When did I start it, Dale? First okay. March what?
Well, you're going to make me look it up. Hang on.
No, that's okay. It was the 1st of March, roughly. And I am down 36 pounds. And I've got a bad left knee that I hurt many years ago.
March 13th.
March 13th. Okay. Yep. So here we are now, 4 months later, less than 4 months later, 36 pounds, maintaining it. But it's not just losing the weight. It's changing the way I look at food, the way I look at everything. And it's really helped me a lot. And I don't inflict anything on other people that I don't try myself. And so I took this to heart, and Dale has been an amazing coach. And I thought, well, let's just have her on the show and let's talk about this and talk about the challenges we have as caregivers, because it is very difficult to maintain good physical health while serving as a caregiver. We have a lot of stress, and they call it comfort food for a reason. And both Dale and I were raised in South Carolina, where comfort food is like a premium. I mean, you can't, wherever two or three are gathered, there's Krispy Kreme. I mean, you can't get away from it. We both grew up on sweet tea, and everything was fried, and our fried food was fried twice. I mean, it was just that way. Yeah. So that's chicken a long introduction. Steak. Chicken fried steak, chicken fried chicken, chicken fried chicken fried chicken with fried butter on it. I mean, we had it all. And so anyway, here's my friend Dale Richardson, and she is on the program. Dale, I am thrilled to have you here. So thank you for indulging me on that long setup. But I wanted people to understand that I've taken this very seriously, and you've been a big part of this. And I thank you for being here. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. And I am so proud of you, my friend. I'm so glad that God brought us back together and reconnected us.
Back together? Possibly. We never left.
Well, we never, you left. You went to
Montana.
Well,
I went to Montana. Yeah, but still, you know.
Yeah, yeah. No, we have stayed in touch over the years, and you've been quite a blessing in our family in many ways.
Well, Freddie and I, your wonderful husband, who has more brain power than any 10 people put together, and we have such a great project that we're working on with our son, that with Freddie, that's going to be very exciting to announce to people down the road here. And so it's just, there's such a your family is so creative, and I love that. And your brother is one of my absolute closest friends, but I don't tell anybody that because I'm just kidding.
Oh. Oh, I tell you, Hank is the reason we moved to Nashville in the first place. And my sister, Mary, because they were in the music business and they said, come on over, we'll introduce you to everyone. And then we all ended up at St. Bartholomew's, and that's where we met.
And I've got story after story after story of all the music stuff we've done. Dale and her husband, Freddie, are amazing singers, backup singers. They've done and jingle singers and session singers, and they've done it all. They're just incredible musicians. And Dale will keep me on my toes. Again, the toes thing. I do a lot of foot things here on this show. But Dale keeps me, because she's got such a great ear for hearing the intervals, and she knows her theory, her musical theory. So I can never pull a fast one over on Dale. And I can on Hank. Hank's an amazing singer, but I can pull one over on Hank. But Dale actually knows, she's put in the time. She knows the work, and she can show her work. And so you can't fake it with, she'll call you out. But I started seeing pictures of you. You started posting on Facebook and other social media, and you dropped quite a bit of weight. And and I never really, you know, I started paying attention. I was thinking, what is she doing? And then when we talked, and Freddie and I have been working on this project, I could hear you in the background, Peter, we got to get you healthier. Peter, we got to get, I couldn't have a conversation with Freddie without Dale chiming in the background. And I mean, she just beat me like a rented mule. And yet here we are. And you closed the deal with the statement that you said to me, said, Peter, your future self will thank you. And I thought, she's right. And so, but tell us how you started. What happened with you? What was the prompt for you?
Okay. I'm going to try and do it in a nutshell. And you know, that's tricky. don't even. So what happened was I grew up very, very active. I was always in sports. I was always in good shape. I was a cheerleader. I played golf and tennis and swimmer and, you know, diver, water ski, you name it. I was out doing it. And then I went to college and gained the freshman 15. And the reason this is important is I think we all need to pay attention is I was so used to not being overweight that when my clothes weren't fitting right, I was like, am I using the wrong detergent? Am I doing the washing machine wrong? Are these things shrinking? What's happening? It never occurred to me that I was gaining weight. Isn't that hilarious? It's like, I don't know if it was my ego or what was going on, but I looked in the mirror, and even recently, you look in the mirror and you see what you want to see, and you don't turn to the side sometimes. You just look straight forward and go, I'm doing okay. But you don't catch yourself as things are changing until you see that candid picture, that photograph at the 4th of July party with your family in 2021. And you're like, oh, who was that person that was at the party? Oh my gosh, it was me. That was me. And I didn't recognize myself. I literally, it was like cold water in the face. I didn't realize I had gotten that big. Okay. Now,
how big were you?
How big a girl are you?
Well, let me just say. I was standing on the street corner and a cop told me to break it up. I was big.
Well, I was, let's see, I'm 5'3". So, you know, every 5 pounds on a 5'3 girl, it shows. I mean, if you're 5'7", you can hide it for a few and you can wear blousy shirts and you can get away with a lot. But when you're 5'3 or 5 feet tall, every pound is a statement. So anyway.
You remember that song that Evie Tornquist did? I'm only 4'11", but I'm going to heaven and it makes me feel 10 feet tall.
I sang that on my senior recital. I can't believe it. Yeah, that's hilarious. Well, here's the thing. I went one summer with my friend Lulu Elam. She had a lake house and invited us and we would go up and I would ski all the time. And I popped up just like I did when I was 8, 10 years old. We skied all our life, you know, slalom. And I popped up. But that summer, I couldn't get up. And I remember thinking, what is going on? Is he not... John, you're not going fast enough. Kick it.
We're going to need a bigger motor.
Oh, well, let me tell you, they were throwing out the heavy things. You know, they were like, oh, lean forward, lean forward.
Freddie got thrown overboard. We got to lose some weight.
So what happened was it wasn't that, but I kept making him try until my arms were so sore. I couldn't even move for like 3 weeks. But even then, I thought it was John's not pulling me the way, you know, I thought it was a boat. I thought it was a speed. It was like, wake up and smell the roses, girl. And then I went to play golf with Freddie on my birthday because every year we go out and play golf. And I'm always a good golfer. I've been a good golfer, played all my life, and I couldn't hit the ball. And I thought, what's happening? And Freddie was like, well, just relax, focus, look at the ball, swing, keep your head down. You know, he kept trying to help me, but nothing was working.
And by the way, Freddie is very thin and in very great shape. So it's, yeah. That's easier said than done for Freddie. I understand.
Right. You know, he kept trying to encourage me and I said, I don't get it. I really don't get it. Well, bless his heart. He didn't say, well, it could be because you have like a tire around your waist. And you're trying to do this rotation of your arms to swing and you're off, you know, your balance is off. Well, never occurred to me. And oh, believe me, I kept feeling worse about myself and worse about myself. Then it was around COVID and my daughter Maggie is a single mom and we're helping with raising Pearl, precious Pearl. And she and I both during COVID, we just sort of decided that fun fellowship with the family was the most important thing. It's just to keep the four of us together and having fun since we couldn't go anywhere and eat good meals and, you know, play cards and, you know, just do fun things, binge on some fun shows and things like that. Just make it an adventure. Well, it adventured right into 35 pounds overweight. So
that's not much of an adventure, is it?
No. And it all sort of came to a head when I was going up and down the stairs with my granddaughter in my arms. And that was my first granddaughter. I now have four with one on the way in August. And I'm very blessed. But that was the first. And I was going up the stairs panting. And then my knees were hurting. My ankles were aching. I was like, wait a minute. Is this the way being a grandparent is going to feel? Taking care of my grandkids?
What a question to ask.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, listen, we are up against a heartbreak, that's a good place to stop, because that is a transformational moment. Mm-hmm. We're talking with my friend Dale Richardson. This is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. And this is something that Dale and I have taken very seriously, along with a lot of others. And I want you to as well. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Moore, Senior Evangelist on Christ in Prophecy. Can you see the signs of the times multiplying all around? Jesus is coming back, and he doesn't want his people to be unprepared. To stay up to date about unfolding events and get a biblical perspective on the signs of the times, listen to Christ in Prophecy here on American Family Radio. Join us Sundays at 11 a.m. Central as we reveal the prophetic hope for those who believe in Jesus Christ, as well as the Bible's warning about God's coming wrath to those who don't yet know him.
This is Frank Gaffney, host of Securing America, a program dedicated to protecting the country we love against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to the glory of God and his kingdom. Each weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time, we provide insights and recommendations about the most important challenges facing our nation from her most thoughtful experts and patriots. Join me to learn how you can help in Securing America right here at 11 p.m. Eastern Time.
Saying no to our children can sometimes become an unfortunate habit in the home.
With another Dr. Dobson Minute, here's Dr. James Dobson.
Every child needs to be acquainted with denial of his more extravagant wishes, and there's a need for parents who have the courage to say no when circumstances warrant. But this responsibility of holding the line and turning down a child's petitions can lead us to say no when we really ought to say yes. What's behind the habit of saying no? Well, it's like an umpire who immediately calls a runner out or safe at home plate. He knows that to waver is to invite an avalanche of protests. And because the kids ask for 1,000 favors a day, we find it convenient to refuse them all. But this knee-jerk negativism is irritating for the child and unduly restrictive to him. Say yes to your child unless there is a very good reason for saying no.
For more information, visit drdobsonminute.org.
When your back's against the ropes and you're feeling all alone, keep fighting the good fight. Keep letting your light shine. 'Cause I'm never gonna leave you, always gonna stay.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. I am continuing my conversation with our longtime friend Dale Richardson, and she helped me get healthier and still is. I mean, I'm still on my way. I've not quite reached the target goal of what I want to get, but I wanted you to hear her story of how she got to where she is. And when last our heroes met, she was huffing and puffing to get up the stairs carrying her granddaughter, and her granddaughter was small. And Dale's small too, but she was struggling to get up the stairs. The breathing was heavy and her knees were hurting, her ankles were hurting. Why? Well, but she had gained a lot of weight. And again, we grew up in the South. We're both from South Carolina. And so we understand about comfort food, but still, you know, they have skinny people in South Carolina. Freddie, her husband's one of them. And it's not fair, but he is. And he's not, evidently this hadn't been an issue with Freddie, but it certainly has been for me. And Dale took it seriously. Dale, what happened? The moment you're carrying Pearl up the stairs and you're huffing and puffing and you're thinking, this is crazy, what happened?
Well, then I, like I said, I saw pictures and I started realizing, who is that person? That is not me. And I know this sounds funny, but I kept saying, because I'm a performer, we've had stage, you know, and our daughter Maggie is a performer. She's a singer and musical theater and choreographer. She's great. And that's another reason why she needed to lose the weight, because she needed to fit into her costumes. And we were talking about this because she works on the General Jackson Showboat, and her beautiful costumes, when she went for her fitting, they were like, oh, we're going to have to change some of the costumes because she had gained weight. And she said, Mom, I got to get this off. I said, me too. We have got to do something. I felt like I needed to zip out of a fat suit. And the reason I say that is because I knew the person inside was not the person I was seeing in the mirror. And I just didn't relate to this person that I looked like, you know, and felt like. I was like, this isn't me, and I don't want this for the rest of my life. So long story short, I called a friend. It's funny because I did a show in Gatlinburg called Pop Goes America when the World's Fair was in Knoxville. And one of the costumes was a Dolly Parton because I came out and sang Here You Come Again, which Maggie sings on the Showboat now. So it's really full circle. And Hank was on tour with Dolly. So there's the Dolly thing. But anyway, I had this actual thing that I would put on, like a costume. Before I put the real costume on, I stepped into this, it was a foam rubber body that had straps, and they zipped it up. And then I was this voluptuous, huge, you know, well over, way overdone body, right? And that's what I felt like. I felt like, can you please unzip me and let me step out? Anyway, so I called a friend who was about my age, and she's in the music business too. And I said, you are about my age and you look great. What have you been doing? And she shared it with me. And so Maggie and I both did this new program. A new way of thinking, a new way of doing life. It's a lifestyle change. And it's not just the food and how many times a day we eat, which is real important because eating 2.5 to 3 hours apart during the day, smaller meals, helps your blood sugars to be stabilized. And it really does help you with cravings and your appetite is satisfied with healthy food too, I might add. So Maggie and I got on the plan and we both lost. I lost 35 pounds in about 4 to 5 months. Maggie lost 25 pounds. So she looks great now. She's been maintaining. She's on the Showboat in her gorgeous costumes and just so, so happy.
But I'm not wearing a Dolly Parton costume.
Yeah.
Let me just go ahead and just say that right now. I just want to get that out of the way in case anybody's worried about that. I'm not wearing a Dolly Parton costume. I'll tell you that right now.
It's funny
So I don't care how, what, you and I are going to stop this conversation if that's part of this transaction that I got to wear a Dolly Parton.
You look great.
But I love that. Well, I love that analogy of that. I want to just zip out of this because I felt the same way. Yeah. This isn't me because I was always skinny. I mean, I was thin because I could eat anything. I was young and I was thin. Mm-hmm. When I married Gracie, I was like 160 pounds. I mean, I was so skinny I could lay under a clothesline and not get a suntan. And Gracie took it as her mission to fatten me up, I think. I mean, I was so skinny. I was just like starving. And I was just hungry, you know. But that changed, right, you know, over time. And particularly being around hospitals because eat so much around hospitals. You know, there's nothing else to do sometimes but just eat. Yeah. You don't necessarily eat well.
Well, that's a good point to bring up about what you eat, you know, because this is not a diet and people are like, oh, you're on that diet. No, no, no. It really isn't. This is the way I see it. You are a spirit. You have a mind and you're in a body. And of course, we as Christians, you know, we say our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we need to be good stewards of that, just like we're good stewards of our money and our time and anything, you know, right?
This temple was about ready to be condemned if I didn't do something about it.
It's going to be closed now.
It was not pretty.
I believe that we need to take care of all three. If you just focus on one and you don't take care of the other two, then it might as well be a diet. Because then you just go back to what you were doing before after you lose the weight. And it's called yo-yoing. And you just go back and forth. Oh, I got to get back on that diet now to lose that again. And then you gain it back and back and forth. That's the thing I love about this is we teach you healthy habits that you're going to incorporate in your life. And that's everything from hydration, sleeping, good sleeping routine. And believe it or not, there's more science to the sleeping thing. I could go into it, but I'll save that. But I can even help you set yourself up for success in those areas that you may have been struggling in. And it really is important to get a good night's sleep and what you do right before you go to bed and things like that. But there's hydration, there's good sleeping, there's emotional eating. You know, we deal with that. Here's a little trick I'll just tell you right now, and this could save you some pounds right now. When you go somewhere and you're tempted by something, you can have it. Sure, you can have that donut. If you want to eat that donut, you can have it. It's your choice. But if you say, no, thank you, not right now, not right now, you're not saying I'll never have another one in my whole life ever again. And oh, poor me, you know, and you have that victim mentality. No, that's not what we're going for here. What we want you to start seeing is, if I can just make that decision, not right now, for this moment, even if I say, I might could do it this afternoon, but I'm not going to do it right now. And you start building that muscle power and that decision and taking control of your decisions.
Your impulses, you know, and you are so right about that, because I found that. I was like, you know, it will pass.
It will.
That moment, and then you get distracted with something else, and you move on, and you realize, oh, I didn't have to have that.
Yeah.
I'm okay with
that. If you will take a minute and a half, push away from whatever the distraction is, and it could be stress, it could be anything that you're dealing with, and just literally deep breathe. In and out, big, long count to 10 in and count to 10 out. And do that for about 5 times straight. Don't hyperventilate. Do it slowly. It does. It brings everything to your frontal cortex. The back part of your brain is the one that's the intuitive thing, where you go, oh, there's a snake. Got to run. You know, and you make quick, impulsive decisions, like you said. But if you can just take a minute and say, okay, wait, is this really what I want to do? It's called stop, challenge, choose. So just stop before you do anything and think it through, because then it goes to the frontal cortex, which is the part that is the reasoning, where you can say, oh, yeah, if my goal is to get healthy, this isn't going to serve me well. So I'm going to choose not right now. I had a friend who quit smoking because she said, not right now. She said, if I had said, I'm quitting smoking, I never would have quit. But if I just said each time, not right now, you know, and realized it's not for tomorrow, it's just for today. And you start building up that muscle. So anyway, that is how one tip of how you can deal with.
Well, I watched you, and then you started really going after it. And then I saw that you were coaching other people, and you were on me like a pack of dogs on a three-legged cat. And I got to tell y'all, I mean, look, Dale and Freddie and I and Gracie, we've been friends for a very, very long time. And I knew she genuinely cared.
Oh, yeah.
And she saw, because, you know, Gracie was going through these surgeries, and there were a lot of them. And it was, you know, it takes its toll. I mean, if you go out and look at a picture of me, you can see how much it takes a toll on it. Because look at me. I mean, I look old. No, I'm just, I mean, well, maybe I do look old. But I was sitting there hugging my granddaughter when we were down in South Carolina. And I told her, I said, I love you, Eileen. And she said, I love your white hair, Pop. And I was like, you know, I have far more white hair than anybody else
hey,
in my family.
That's wisdom. You look good. I think men look great. Well, I say that because I'm not quite gray yet.
That's easy for you to say. I have all this Arctic blonde hair.
Well, I help myself not be, but I think you look very good.
But I finally, when you told me, you said, look, your future self's going to thank you.
Yeah.
And it was March. It was winter here in Montana. It's kind of, you know, great. You know, we have a lot of winter in Montana. And mm-hmm. I was thinking, okay, now the good news is we're a long ways away from fast food where I live.
Oh yeah.
And so I made the decision, and I started this process, and you coached me along with it. You were there for me, and you said, look, all right, we're going to start slow. We're going to do this and this. And then I would, and you're only supposed to weigh in like once a week. I was doing it every day.
I know.
Sometimes twice a day. So I'm known for my patience, Dave.
Yeah, really.
and ask your brother. I mean, I've known, Peter's a model of patience. But I want to tell you what happened when we come back. We got to take a quick break. I'm talking with my friend Dale Richardson. We're talking about being healthy. And this is not something that's a one and done with me. This is going to be a lifestyle change for me because, you know, I'll be 61 this month. And, you know, age is not necessarily a cure for health ailments. And so I serve Gracie best when I am not struggling with weight and health issues and so forth. Now, how does that help her? It's all about stewardship. And we're going to talk some more about that when we come back. This is Peter Rosenberg. This is Hope for the Caregiver. Don't go away. We'll be right back. I'll never forget walking into the hospital room after Gracie had her second amputation. Both legs are gone now. And she looked at me. She said, "I know what I'm going to do." And I was kind of startled. I said, "Well, what are you going to do?" She said, "I'm going to help provide prosthetic limbs to my fellow amputees and tell them about Jesus." And I said, "Well, baby, can we get out of the hospital first?" But she never let it go. And for almost 20 years, we've been working out of Ghana, West Africa. We treat patients all over there from other countries that come there. We send supplies. We send teams. We sponsor patients. We work with a prison where inmates volunteer to disassemble used prosthetic limbs so we can recycle the parts. All of this because Gracie trusted God with her heartache. We've got a huge shipment of supplies that is being loaded up right now to go out soon. Would you help us do it? StandingWithHope.com/giving. StandingWithHope.com/giving. There's prosthetic feet, knees, pylons, sleeves, adapters, all kinds of connectors. All of these things we are sending over there so that people can walk. We're going to point them to Christ. Help us out. StandingWithHope.com/giving.
The Word of God tells us many times in one form or another, fear not. Many people are very fearful about some of the many perils and dangerous happenings that are going on in the world. Psalm 91 verses 1 and 2 tell us, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him I will trust." I'm Joseph Parker, and we here at the American Family Association would like to remind you, fear not, put your trust in the Lord. We'd like to both encourage and challenge you to aggressively put your faith to work. And one way to do that is to pray Psalm 91 daily for yourself and your family, and keep your trust in Him. If you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer for yourself, email us here at psalm91@afa.net. Again, that's psalm91@afa.net.
My life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live and not just be.
Welcome back to Hope for the Caregiver. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the program for you as a family caregiver. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. HopeForTheCaregiver.com. We're continuing our conversation with our longtime friend, Dale Richardson. Dale, you took me on as a project in March, March 13th. Here we are, less than 4 months later. I'm already 36 down and maintaining it and feeling great. My left knee doesn't hurt like it used to at all.
Ooh. That's
and
great.
I'm very grateful for that. I noticed the biggest difference when I got up on a horse, that I could actually get up on a horse. I didn't have to look around for a rock or something or a stump to be able to get up on the horse. And I just was able to just get up on the horse like I used to when I was younger. I'm 61 years old, and I'm just swinging up on a saddle. And these are not small horses we have out here in Montana. And so I noticed the big difference on that. And you've been just such an encouragement. You've taught me better things to cook, better recipes, better lifestyle things. Yes, there's some things that I needed to buy. I got to eat anyway, so I might as well buy this. But it wasn't for every meal. It was just during the daytime or the way we work it out. And you've helped adjust because I do a lot of physical work out here. And so I need to keep a lot of protein going. And you've helped me understand that. I do eat venison and game meat, which is very lean, and that helps. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I drink a ton of water now that I didn't used to drink. I don't drink sweet tea, and I haven't been doing that in a while. And I don't drink sodas, and I haven't been doing that in a while. But I'm drinking about 100 ounces of water a day.
That's awesome.
And I've got other things that you've helped me do. Tell me about some of the other success stories, particularly our friend Carol, who is also a fellow caregiver down in South Carolina, and you helped her dramatically.
Yeah, Carol was a roommate of mine at Columbia College in Columbia, South Carolina. And we've been friends forever, but we just got back to being together on Facebook, which I really love that about Facebook, that you can connect back with friends. Real quick, before I tell you about Carol, I just want to tell you that Freddie and I were in ministry for 20 years. And we went to a counselor one time because everybody needs some tweaking in their counseling.
Grace and I were raised by a pack of therapists.
So we went to this wonderful couple counselor, and they prayed for us, and we just talked through everything and made sure we were good in every area. And at the end, he said, "I feel like God is telling me to tell you something, and I'd like to record it for you." And I said, "Well, sure." So I'm really glad he did, because I typed it out and I've still got it. But what he said to me was really powerful, and it was over 10 years ago. So it's funny how God will tell you something and then it may not come to pass till a while later. But he said, "I see you going into the trenches and helping people." And I thought, well, the only thing I know about the word trenches is the war. So I'm like, what, am I going to be like a nurse? Am I going to go into the trenches and help people who are hurt? I mean, what's happening here? I couldn't visualize what it meant. And he also said, "And you're going to help men and women and thousands." And I thought, what? You know, what is this? I'm a musician. My husband's a preacher. What does this mean? And later I went to a conference of like-minded people that are doing the same thing I am. And someone stood up and said, "You know, we're hope dealers and we help people out of the trenches." And when she said that word trenches, it all came together for me. And I thought, I have compassion. My gift is helps, the gift of helps. That's one of the gifts in the Bible. And I love helping people. It's my passion to help people, really. So when I found out that I could actually become a health coach and help people do what I just did, I was so excited. And I love relationships. I love, you know, hearing what people's needs are and meeting them, because we meet people from one spectrum to the other. We've got a 340-pound person as a client, and we have, I, who is taking one step at a time and losing, has already lost 30 pounds and sees the light at the end of the tunnel. Then we've got people who are too thin and need nutrition. They need a whole different program. And we have all that. We have it all.
People don't know how to properly fuel themselves, do they?
Exactly. And so one thing that I used to do is say, "I'm going to eat healthy. I'm going to do like a watermelon diet or a week. And all I'm eating is watermelon. And it's just going to help me lose weight." Well, guess what? There's so much sugar in watermelon. It's good sugar, but it's way too much sugar for your system. And your system will say, "No, we're not burning fat, because we got to take care of all this sugar. We got to, you know, process all this sugar." So that's where you start learning, like, okay, I can still have that, but I don't have as much of it. And, you know, you start learning, well, what is a good healthy serving of spaghetti squash? If it's spaghetti squash, why can't I fill up my whole plate with it? Well, there are certain vegetables that are higher in carbs and moderate and low. So you start learning what is that little healthy serving, so that you start learning what that looks like. And then when you go out to a restaurant, you know how to order. Don't be afraid to ask the waiter. You can even go to an Italian restaurant if the dish is appropriate, and you can say, instead of serving it over regular pasta, "Can you please put that over a bed of lettuce? Or can you please put that over, you know, some kind of roasted vegetables or sauteed spinach or whatever?" I mean, you can substitute and be healthier. But here's what happened with Carol. She had lost like 80 pounds. And she gained it all back, not with me, with something else. Now she's lost 65 and she is just looking great. She's going strong. She is a full-time caregiver for her daughter, who is in a wheelchair and paralyzed except for just a tiny motion with her fingers. You know, she's just an amazing girl. I love her. And Carol told me, she said, "I don't have time. I don't have time to cook, hardly. I don't have time to do anything. So you got to make this easy." And I said, "It is." And that's what's so great about it.
Well, somebody else you know that said, "I don't have time."
Yeah, you. That was it. That was the same conversation.
And I said, "This has to be easy." Because I said, "Dale, if this is work, I can't do it."
I know.
There was a little bit of a learning curve for the first, maybe the first week of just because I'm just changing things around and I want to make sure I got it right.
Right.
But it wasn't overwhelming to me. It was just a little bit different.
Uh-huh.
But you have coached me through. You send me recipes on things. But I think the thing is that you've coached me through it. And that's why I wanted you to have the program, because you didn't just, okay, do this and then I'll check in with you in a month kind of thing. Nope.
Oh, no, no.
No, Dale is on you like a hobo into a bologna sandwich. I mean, she is.
You know, Freddie tells this story about the preacher who went to visit someone who hadn't been coming to church. And he opened the door and said, come in, pastor, come sit by the fire. And they went over and sat by the fire and they were watching these logs burning. And the pastor went over and took out an ember or a piece of log burning and pulled it out onto the hearth and then went back and sat down. And they watched as that thing burned out quickly. And then the pastor got up, didn't say a word, picked up the ember thing and put it back on the fire. And of course it inflamed again. And then he said, well, I got to go now. They didn't even talk. He went to the door to say goodbye and hug the man. And the man said, I'll be in church on Sunday. Because that was a sermon in just a visual. No man is an island. We need community. We need each other. We need to be accountable to people. And not just so I can say, Peter, have you done this today? Did you do that? Did you check your boxes? No. I'm like, hey, what are you struggling with? Okay, let's tweak that. All right, let's deal with that. You know, I really want this to eat, Dale. Okay, well, let's figure out how we can make a healthy version of that.
One of the things you told me, you really did an assessment of my lifestyle, which is, you know, how many steps do I take? Well, I'm a full-time caregiver. I take a lot of steps. Plus, I'm out here on this ranch and we've got cattle out here. I'm on horseback a lot. And you really pushed me to up the protein intake of things. So I look for ways to take more protein, mm-hmm. whether it's through a supplement protein powder that you helped me get, or mm-hmm. it's me taking a bigger portion of venison. Things such as that, because you cautioned me on that. Things like that, I wouldn't think about. I was just thinking, okay, I just need to stop eating. No, no, no. You don't stop eating. You just eat smarter for what you're doing. And I realize how many steps I take, what goes on in my life. And these are things that really helped me. And here I am, and I'm on my way. I've set a goal for 50 pounds, and I'm almost there, because I wanted to give myself a little bit of a cushion for days that are not going to go as well as I'd like. I'm looking at my age, my heart rate, my BMI, all those things. But the goal for me is not to be able to have a skinny wardrobe. The goal for me is, how do I best take care of Gracie? And I cannot do this if I am huffing and puffing, if I am struggling to be able to do basic things. I just can't do it. I say this all the time. I have it on my Tumblr. I have it on my website. I have it everywhere. Healthy caregivers make better caregivers. And Dale has helped me get healthier. And we're going to have this as an ongoing conversation, by the way, because Dale's my health consultant. And she and Freddie, by the way, have done a lot of music with Gracie and I over the years. And I was listening to a recording we did 30-something years ago, and I could hear you guys on backup vocals with it. It was just great. And we have so much fun with it. And your brother and I have written many songs together. And I love this family, and I wanted you all to know her and meet her, and I want you to take advantage of her. Look, I'm doing it, okay? I'm not asking you to do something I'm not doing. I'm doing it. So I want you to take advantage of her. Dale, what is your website?
My website is Richer Health for You. And it's not the number four, it's F-O-R. It's just like a sentence.
RicherHealthForYou.com. And I'm going to put this out on my website at PeterRosenberger.com. Under my resources tab, you'll see this. You can go just have a conversation with her. This is not going to cost you anything to have a conversation.
No, it's no obligation.
Dale, I've got to run. We're out of time here. This has been such a great conversation, and I appreciate this. Your website again is
richerhealthforyou.com. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful program, wonderful friend who can coach you through this thing. Don't do this by yourself. Get Dale to help. She helped me.
It would be my honor to serve you in that way.
And she gets the journey, and I do appreciate it very much. Dale, it's always a treat. So anyway, listen, thank you so much for listening today. I appreciate it. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is Hope for the Caregiver, hopeforthecaregiver.com. Hey, healthy caregivers make better caregivers. And Dale has helped me do this. Go out to her website today and start your journey. Today is a great day to start being a healthier person, okay? We'll see you next time.